Calling home this morning is our second Rosie, Rosie Mannins in Atlanta, Georgia. Rosie's from Nelson. She's been in Atlanta since 2019, but she started going there 3 years earlier after she met her now husband, Jamaica. They've got shared custody of his three children, Jaden, son, and Daniel. Rosie's an ex-journalist here working for Law 360, which is considered to be the foremost legal publication in the U.S. In New Zealand, she worked for a long time at the ODT and also on the Cook Islands News at one point. Jamaica, as we said earlier, is a gifted musician. Hello, Rosie.
Hi.
Hard to know where to start with your time in Atlanta, because the last few years have seen such momentous events swirl around you. You're living in the United States at an historic time, really.
I don't know if you'd call it fortunate enough, but fortunate enough, I suppose, to come over when Donald Trump was campaigning to be president. And so the last, you know, sort of 5 years have been a really crazy whirlwind of things. In the South, we've had a lot of race issues, nationwide, and of course, the pandemic as well.
And the pandemic, because a piece you wrote for the ODT last year, you were trying to get a vaccine. You were worried about catching the virus. You were relying on chicken broth and good luck. did you catch it?
No. Well, not that I know of. My husband and I have tested negative several times, although you never quite know whether you may have got it and just, you know, have not shown symptoms. And both of us are now fully vaccinated. We still wear masks everywhere we go. We just hope that, you know, if we're around the Delta variant or the virus, that A, we don't get sick, and B, we don't pass it on to anyone else.
Yeah. Well, you've been permanently based in Atlanta since March 2019, but you started spending time there about 5 years ago when you met the very talented Jamaica. How did the two of you meet?
So it's a little embarrassing. We actually matched on Tinder. I wanted to meet people while I was in the States. I wasn't necessarily looking for a relationship, but once we met in person, when I got to Atlanta, we hit it off and just kind of went from there.
We played a snatch of one of his songs earlier, letting people know you were on the way this morning. If you were a singer, I would have used you.
Well, let's just say that, you know, it's a good thing I'm not a singer.
So Jamaica's an Atlanta native, originally from Augusta, the home of the US Masters. We'll get back to him because he's got an interesting story, but so have you. You work as a journalist for Law 360. So you cover the big legal and court news in Georgia?
That's right. Law 360 is an online publication, and it's a national one. We focus on all of the corporate litigation and things like that, white-collar crime. They wanted to open a Georgia office in the sense of having a couple of reporters on the ground in the Georgia courts and getting to know the Georgia legal community and covering the news that comes out of Georgia. And Georgia, you know, it's a state of about just over 10 million, so it's not huge. But we have a number of Fortune 500 companies based here. We have Delta Airlines, we've got Coca-Cola, a lot of car manufacturing happens here. So there is a lot of news on the legal side and on the corporate side as well. Yeah, elections has been, you know, one of those other kind of things that have fed into it as well lately.
Actually, Atlanta, speaking of Georgia only having 10 million, Atlanta's not, although it's an immense airline hub, it's not as big a city as we think compared with some other US cities, is it?
I've lived in Melbourne, which is sort of a similar kind of population. The area, I guess, geographically in metropolitan Atlanta, it is very large and sprawling, with the city of Atlanta right in the middle, even though it's not right like the size of LA or New York.
It just seems to be, that's right. You've seen Confederate monuments removed from public view. You saw the race riots after George Floyd's death. You met Martin Luther King Jr.'s sister and an African American man who was attacked by the Ku Klux Klan as a boy. Gee, talk about going through the emotional wringer as a journalist. It's not all dry lore, is it? These are encounters you'll never ever forget the intensity of, I imagine.
I think one of the things that will always stick with me about being in this city is that you really feel like you're a part of a living, breathing history. You know, a lot of those things happened within my first year or two, you know, of being here, of working at first on a voluntary basis for a small community newspaper in a black part of Atlanta. We've got a lot of Confederate monuments. We've got a lot of Confederate roads. This is the South, you know. This is where you find on every corner a Confederate monument or a Confederate cemetery or a Confederate store with a huge civil rights organization kind of movement here as well, and a large black population. It is really the battlefield for a lot of the issues.
And you won a big award, the Georgia Press Association First Prize for Investigative Journalism last year. All power to you, Rosie. Was that for a single piece or a body of work?
Thank you. I got that for a body of work that I did on a one particular issue, and it was an environmental pollution issue. There was various sterilization facilities in the metro Atlanta area that use ethylene oxide, which is a chemical that basically has been linked to cancer. And the community became very concerned about the amounts of this chemical that were leaching into the air. And I'm actually still covering sort of the spin-off, which is a lot of the legal cases that are in the courts in Georgia. You know, this was a community that had huge cases of cancers and associated diseases, and no one really knew why. It was big news in Georgia, especially in the metro Atlanta area.
It's a big story. So you're doing the big stories. You'd worked for the ODT and the Cook Islands News. You also cut your teeth on the West Coast, I think. Where exactly did your journalism career begin?
Well, I'd have to say it started at Neyland College in Nelson. I was tapped to be part of a journalist class there in the sixth and seventh form. I went down to Wellington and I ended up doing a diploma of journalism at Whitirea. And it was just before I graduated that I got a job offer on the West Coast with the Greymouth Star and the West Coast Times.
What are the biggest differences? I know Atlanta sounds a bit different compared with Greymouth, Nelson, or wherever, but what are the biggest differences in your day-to-day life as a journalist, out of interest?
I think accessibility is a big one. Atlanta is, you know, it's a difficult beast to navigate. It's stressful.
Would you ever come back to New Zealand at any point and resume that kind of life and bring Jamaica and the children with you?
Absolutely. We are itching to come back to New Zealand. We don't have any concrete plans at this stage, but we hope it will be in the next 5 to 10 years. We don't know whether, you know, at the current climate, Auckland is something we could ever afford, but perhaps we could afford a little town, something like that.
Yeah. Yes, Ross or Harry or one of those lovely places.
Yeah, you
Yeah.
know, nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing
My
at all.
husband, he says, you know, I need internet connection. He has to be able to connect to the internet.
Yeah, because he's an IT whiz. All right. So you live in Roswell, which is part of the metropolitan Atlanta area, about half an hour's drive north, I think, of downtown Atlanta without traffic. You told us on the email that at one point you and Jamaica were commuting 4 hours a day around Atlanta to get to both of your jobs with only one car. Gee.
Yeah, it was a nightmare. We would get up at 5:30 or 6. Sometimes I would put my makeup on in the car while Jamaica drove. Sometimes Jamaica would sleep while I drove. And yeah, you get home at 8 o'clock at night just exhausted, and all you've done is 8 hours of work for the day.
You can't do that forever. Okay, so you've got a hot housing market, as with New Zealand. What do you miss most about life in New Zealand? Can you give us the full list?
Probably the relaxed, laid back kind of feel. And, people just aren't as tense and defensive. I miss being able just to hop in the car or get on the bike and go around to mum's house 10 minutes away for a cup of tea. It doesn't take an hour, and it's not an hour of stressful driving.
No.
And the other thing I think is I was a lot more connected to the outdoors when I lived in New Zealand. There are snakes and all kinds of nasty, dangerous things that I'm not used to. And so I'm a little bit of a wimp.
No, I imagine the fire ants would put you off when you were camping.
Yeah, you don't want to go barefoot. You don't want to put your hand into a bush while you're gardening. I was always outdoors in New Zealand.
You've just reminded us of how we are the lucky country in many respects, as far as all that goes, especially. Do they say hey y'all in Atlanta?
Yes,
Right.
they do. Yeah, it's very, very southern drawl. Yeah.
They call the city the ATL.
Yeah, it's the ATL. It's the Peach State officially.
Right.
So anything peach related. Yeah, ATL is what you kind of hear in the common sense, yeah.
What do you like to do in your free time there? If the outdoors aren't quite as enticing as they are in Aotearoa, what do you actually do?
I'm really into street art and graffiti, and there's just a huge amount of amazing, talented people coming here and doing that. And the city has some really great neighborhoods to wander around. There's a lot of clubs and music and theater and all that kind of stuff. They have a lot of really lovely parks in Atlanta. The city is very green.
Yes, the lovely parks. I read about those. Of course, the southern buildings as well, and great historic spots like the childhood home of Martin Luther King Jr. So, if I was on the phone and said, "Listen, Rosie, I've only got a day, where would you take us when we came to visit for a day, for example?"
You'd have to go to the heart of Atlanta. You have to go downtown. It's gritty. There's homeless people everywhere. There's poverty everywhere. There's, all kinds of blight in terms of property. It's also glitzy in some places. You've got major gentrification going on. But, you find a little kind of black eatery diner that's been there for 50 years in the same family, have some fried chicken, have a biscuit, and soak up some of that inner city downtown feel.
Rosie Mannins calling home from Atlanta, Georgia. Okay, so fried chicken, roadside barbecue, shrimp and grits, collard greens, they're all still on view in this day and age.
Oh, yeah. It is the South. It is a black mecca, and it is where you traditionally have fried chicken, mashed potatoes, potato salad, greens, like you mentioned. And by the way, every time I say collard greens like that, I'm just greeted with laughter and smiles because it's like collard greens. It's good. It's good hometown cooking, and I think Kiwis wouldn't have a problem, living off that stuff. It's tasty. You can't deny it.
So collard greens, or whatever they say, are a kind of cabbage.
It's kind of like a bitter silver beety kind of greens that
Okay.
they boil down, and They add like bacon or some kind of hock meat to give it flavor. You know, it's quite salty when it comes out, and
Oh, yeah.
that is pretty much, other than green beans, that's pretty much the only greenery you'll see on the plate.
They're Georgia's vegetables. All right. I was reading there's an Australian cafe that does pies and lamingtons. Have you been there?
Oh yeah, I was there, you know, every other lunchtime getting a sandwich and a lamington or some hedgehog slice. They sold Tim Tams for about six times the price and Cadbury chocolate. But you know, and that was great. I have to say, and I don't know if this is anti-Australian, but the quality wasn't quite on point with what New Zealand would provide, I don't
Ah.
think. You know, it was a taste of home, but it wasn't the taste of home.
Okay. You need a New Zealand pie shop. All right.
There's a couple in my mind that I will be frequenting as soon as I get back. Yeah. In New Zealand, that you know, what you get is going to taste like it did when you were eight. And that's really the key, I think.
Keep the dream alive. Rosie, it's all right. Now, getting back to Jamaica briefly, because by day he is a mild-mannered IT consultant, but by night, as it were, he's a twice Grammy-nominated musician. He lost to Beyonce in 2015 and this year to John Legend. Wow.
He did, yeah. His Grammy nominations were in his capacity as a songwriter. He's also an artist and he does kind of all the behind the scenes stuff as well. So he's often in the studio at night. Lately, he's been getting what they call sync licensing for his music to be on television and film. So that's an avenue to get a little bit of money. The industry is, you know, it's very hard to get money out of. You kind of have these few occasions where you might get a windfall with a contract or one song does really well and you get royalties. But for all the work you put in, you definitely don't get out what you should.
And you never know what's around the corner with music, too. He just might get that big break where a piece of his music is used in a TV show or something.
Yeah. It's very hard to know how that's going to play out.
Have you seen much, just finally before we, have you seen much of the wider state, Georgia? Because we do hear about it in song, we maybe read about it. We've always known about Georgia. Have you seen, had a chance to look around it much?
Yeah, I mean, in northern Georgia, just an hour or so north of Atlanta, you get into kind of mountain territory, and it's really the end of the Appalachian Trail. My husband being a black man, it's been a little awkward in some of those towns, admittedly. We
Really?
were
What's going
actually
on?
told not to stop in a couple of places that we were driving through. We went down to Savannah and the kind of nearby part of North Carolina on the coast there, which was really cool. You know, Savannah is one of the oldest cities in the country. It's beautiful in terms of that kind of old architecture, if that's what you're into. Obviously, there's a lot of emotion that comes with the plantation kind of scenery and vibe. It's kind of like an old historic town turned uni town because they've got big university there, and it's a lot of students and bars and, funnily enough, a lot of Irish kind of pub culture. A lot of
Didn't
people go there for
know
St. Paddy's Day and things like that. So that almost kind of reminded me of Dunedin in a way. And a lot of it's farming. That side of Georgia is very separate to what I'm experiencing, but it's always interesting to go and explore.
a diverse state and a diverse life. Well, I got to get to getting. Do they say that? I read they say I got to get to getting, which means it's time to go. Yeah? I got to get to getting.
Or
Hey.
I'll let you let me go or something like that. But I think I usually just stick to what I know, even if it confuses people.
Like collard greens.
Collard greens, yeah. I say cheers a lot, as in like cheers, bye, see ya. And I think they're wondering like, are we celebrating a drink? Are we having a drink? Or, but yeah.
That's funny. Hey, lovely to talk to you. Congratulations on your journalism awards, and nice to hear about your interesting life. And one day back in New Zealand, maybe you tell us. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.